Well, we're back into Proverbs. So we missed last week, of course, because we had that major snowstorm. It was so weird. So we're back into our next character. This character is the poor man. We considered the rich man. Now we're considering his antithesis, the poor man. So let's pray, and then we'll consider him. Father, I pray that you would help us today. Many people are weary here today. I know those that participated in the camp yesterday, some were feeling a little under the weather heading into yesterday and then giving of their strength to you. They've found that their physical illness has kind of resurrected itself today. I pray that you'd keep them encouraged and strengthened, give them rest this afternoon and throughout this week. And I pray that you would revive them physically, and thank you for their sacrifice yesterday. Lord, thank you for those who partnered with us. It's just awesome to know within this group that while some participate actively, others participate just as actively in prayer, and we're so thankful for that. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labored in vain. So, Father, thank you for those warriors in prayer. May they continue. We do pray that you would work in the hearts of those the kids who heard so clearly some really important messages yesterday. I pray that they would be diligent to believe, and then may they be diligent to respond in tender obedience. Help Elliot and Kristen and Josh and Krista and Dan to have discernment to continue to apply those truths to each heart that they deal with, and we pray for an ongoing harvest of spiritual fruit from that. Thank you for the privilege of being able to partner with you in kingdom work yesterday in that way. Father, as we jump back into this hour, Lord, as I was reviewing my new notes, just reminded a lot of this is familiar, and a lot of the application is going to be redundant, and it's going to be easy on a Sunday morning, and one in which we're tired, to just let it go in one ear and out the other. Lord, help us today. Help us as we consider some pretty standard application at times to evaluate ourselves and check ourselves and consider how we're doing. And I pray that your grace would teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Father, give us help, and we'll thank you for what you will give. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Well, the poor man, and if you want a particular passage to turn to, Proverbs 21, but we'll read that verse in just a moment. Proverbs 21. On January 8, 1964, President Lyndon Johnson addressed the nation in his State of the Union address as he stood before the joint houses of Congress, and he really declared a war on poverty. At that time, the poverty rate in the United States of America stood at 19%. Johnson's initiatives brought Medicare, food stamps, the Job Corps, Head Start, and many more similar initiatives. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the American poverty rate in 2012, 2 years ago, stood at 16%. 50 years and billions of dollars to reduce America's poverty rate by 3%. Just an interesting recognition there. In fact, recent studies indicate that the disparity between the rich and the poor in our society actually only is increasing. In fact, here's a discouraging statistic for you. We're glad you came to church today. I want to discourage you here. In 2012, the top 1%, which I think is like something like 1,600 families. Okay, that's not very many people. The top 1% in America experienced a 32% income increase. And the bottom 99%, that's us, we experienced a 1% income increase in 2012. I'm sure 2014 was similar. All right, so there's a little injustice for you. Now that we're all pumped up with our blood boiling, we're going to consider our plight as we consider the problem of poverty. The problem of poverty is certainly nothing new, and it's not going away. And the war on poverty declared by whatever president is just a battle that's not going to be won. But does that mean we should be unconcerned about the condition of the less fortunate in our midst? Glad you woke up this morning. Look at Proverbs 21, if you would, with me. Verse 13. Proverbs 21:13. Should we be unconcerned understanding that it's a losing battle, Proverbs 21:13, whosoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. So while we recognize that within the realm of politics and government, solution might not be found, God intended for the solution to be discovered in the response of each individual believer to the plight of those who are less fortunate around them. Poverty is mentioned 46 times in the book of Proverbs. It's in Proverbs a major theme. In fact, the authors of Proverbs use several different words, as we've become accustomed to with all these characters, to describe the poor man. Number one, a person driven to express a desire for relief. A person driven to express a desire for relief. This word is used 61 times in the Old Testament, 4 times in Proverbs, and it really is the word that describes the beggar. He's so needy that he has to express that need by holding out a cup, holding out a sign, helping people recognize that he needs your help. Number two, it's a person who is exhausted or bent low. A person who is exhausted or bent low. This is used 48 times in the Old Testament, 14 times in Proverbs. This is the most familiar picture of poverty. And it describes someone who is weak and thin and just exhausted. Number three, to possess or be dispossessed. This often speaks of an inheritance gained or lost. And so depending on the context, it can be positive or negative. Oftentimes in the book of Proverbs, it's the negative of being dispossessed. And then finally, number four, to be humbled by affliction. To be humbled by affliction. This is the idea of being humiliated, being made poor, being made lowly. It's used 3 times in Proverbs. So the person that we're discussing today is someone who is expressing their need for relief, exhausted and bent low, dispossessed and humbled, humiliated by affliction. Unfortunately, that group of people is normally despised by our culture. In fact, Proverbs talks about the class warfare that we experience even now. Proverbs 14:20 says this, "The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends." Proverbs 19:7 says, "All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far away from him? He pursues them, the poor pursues them with words, yet they're lacking to him." This kind of class warfare is nothing new. In fact, we saw 2 weeks ago, we turned in our Bibles to James chapter 2, and we considered the battle between the rich and the poor as one comes in the door with fine apparel on. He looks the part, and we invite him to a wonderful seat, and another guy walks in that obviously looks a little disadvantaged, and we kind of recommend that he sits at our footstool. The New Testament and the Old both agree that within the community of faith, there is no room for favoritism. In fact, the compassion of our Christ is the compassion that is being recommended to us. Okay? Here's our theme. God wants us to have wisdom regarding poverty and riches. We're talking about living skillfully, being able to navigate life in such a way where bumps and potholes are avoided and averted, and they do not waylay us. We need to drive skillfully with the potholes. We need to live skillfully with those bumps of life. And one of those bumps is poverty, whether experienced by ourselves or experienced by those who we come into contact with. We need to live skillfully regarding poverty and riches. So we're going to look at the plight of the poor, and we'll do so, I think, under 3 headings today. First, let's consider the reasons for poverty. Now, we come to Proverbs and we recognize that these aren't politically correct reasons. We're going to talk about people's environment today. We're going to talk about the system. We're going to talk about their neighborhood. We're going to talk about different issues that would excuse them. And honestly, in some aspects, those things are worthy of consideration. And it is wisdom for us as a community, as a culture, as a neighborhood, to consider what we can do to break that cycle and to alleviate the system. You talk with Elliot about those things, and he lives in the midst of some of that. But when we come to the book of Proverbs, responsibility is laid at the root of every individual. And we're asked to consider, am I experiencing poverty because of some major character flaws that wisdom told me would lead down this path. What are these reasons? Well, first, laziness. First is laziness. If you want to turn to Proverbs 6, we'll see in verses 6 through 11 a passage that we considered in a previous character that reminds us of the danger of laziness. Heard me in my prayer. I was just referencing these notes again this morning and recognizing we've touched on this theme several times in other character studies, and here we are again. And this is just one of those themes it's easy to let come in one ear and out the other. As often as it occurs in Proverbs, it seems like wisdom would say, be careful of laziness. There are so many different types of destruction that it leads to. We find ourselves considering this point once again. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways. She has no chief, officer, or ruler, but she prepares her bread in summer, gathers her food in the harvest. But how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a robber and want like an armed man. Now, obviously, we're talking about more than just somebody who wakes up on a Sunday morning and wants to hit the snooze button, right? Praise the Lord, we're talking about more than that, because I'm pretty sure I did hit the snooze button. I think a few times every morning. We're talking about somebody who approaches life with a perpetual shirking of responsibility and replacing it with the total irresponsibility of just sleeping his life away. For the American Christian, the vast selection of various forms of entertainment is the broad doorway that leads to this path of laziness, from our mobile devices to video games and television and movies. It's a broad road that leads to the shirking of responsibility and the procrastination of duties. And at the end of that road, wisdom is warning us, lies poverty. This is one of the reasons for poverty in our culture. This is the reason for poverty in our homes, is laziness. Number two, stinginess. Stinginess. Prudence with one's finances is commendable. In fact, if you're not prudent with your finances, you may find yourself in poverty. But the opposite is true as well, wisdom is going to teach us. Stinginess in helping others, while maybe common sense would say hoard and you won't have poverty, God says be wise and lend and give. In fact, Proverbs 11:24 is our verse here. It says, one gives freely and grows richer. Another withholds what he should give and suffers want. This is in part a manifestation of God's grace to us. He commands us to be generous givers. And then he warns us what will happen if we fail to reflect his character in that way. This is one of the chief manifestations of his character proclaimed in the gospel. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He wants us to have the same kind of compassion. And while we practice financial stewardship, he also wants us to practice financial generosity. And he warns through the voice of wisdom in Proverbs 11 that the one who gives freely, he's promised to provide for them and protect them. Remember the New Testament corollary? Luke 6, 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Now, I never want us to be accused of perpetuating a prosperity theology in this place, but I neither want us to be accused of forsaking the promises of God because we want to avoid a danger. Do you hear that promise? Give, and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. The same God that saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion and said, no, we're not going to send them away. We're going to provide for them. Is the same God that looks into your life and sees your Christ-like generosity and says, you've done well. I want to bless you. How much more does your Heavenly Father love to give good things to his children, particularly to those children that are modeling the gospel of God and showing in their character and their behavior that they love to be generous? Never be afraid to claim a promise just because some have done so to a wrong doctrine. That promise is a beautiful one that we should cling to and allow it to motivate us to obey. Give, and it will be given unto you. Laziness, stinginess, thirdly, drunkenness. Proverbs 23:21 says this, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness," that's the lazy person we talked about before, "shall clothe a person with rags." The expense of buying booze is soon followed by the expense of paying for treatment, of losing one's job, of losing one's family, one's reasoning skills, and even one's freedom. Society knows drunkenness costs much. There should be no debate about the fact that drunkenness leads to poverty. When we considered in our Midweek Connection series months ago, those social issues, we started, before we ever opened our Bibles, before we ever considered the gospel, we simply started by looking scientifically at what alcohol is and at the statistics of what alcohol does. And common sense recognizes what wisdom is here teaching us, that drunkenness is oftentimes the beginning point of poverty. We're called to be sober in our responses and our responsibility to work hard as providers for ourselves and for others. So we're wise to avoid that which every generation and every culture knows to lead to the beggar's perch, okay? And then fourthly, gluttony. Same verse, Proverbs 31:21 told us that the drunkard and the glutton will both come to poverty. Proverbs 21:20 says this, "Precious treasure and oil are in the wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it and is left in poverty." Two homes are contrasted. The one whom the Lord provides him with what he needs, and he takes it from the Lord with wisdom and with self-control, and there's blessing there. The other home immediately devours it and quickly is left without any additional resources, and there's poverty. The glutton is friends with the lazy and the drunkard. He likewise then shares in their poverty. He deals with the opposite sin of the stingy. He doesn't hoard. Instead, he has no self-control or desire to save, to portion out, and so he immediately spends or enjoys all that he has long before the need runs out. And so he is left in need indeed. Consider your lack of financial security. Some of you in this room find yourself in that position. And we all recognize that it could certainly be because, like Job, that is where the Lord's led you. That is what the Lord has ordained for you. But what we're recognizing this morning is that the voice of wisdom is speaking this morning and saying, I'm declaring unto you spiritual laws that God's woven into the fabric of culture and society. Those who are stingy, those who are gluttons, those who are lazy, those who are drunkards, these are those who will reap to themselves poverty. So has uncontrolled gluttony and spending and materialism robbed you of truly enjoying God's provision? Fifthly, greed. Greed. This goes hand in hand with gluttony, right? Greed is the desire to get. Gluttony, once gotten, is the consuming of it. Proverbs 28:22, "He that hastes to be rich has an evil eye and considers not that poverty shall come upon him." For many years, men and women were enticed to play the lottery with this slogan, "Just imagine being rich." And it fed the love of money that is the root of all kind of evils, including the evil of poverty. Few people become rich by playing the lottery, but many more become poor. Greed leads to poverty. Number six, stubbornness. Stubbornness. Without a teachable spirit, there's little chance for personal advancement, little chance to learn and develop and grow and adjust. Proverbs 13:18, "Poverty and shame shall be upon him that refuses instruction." The stubborn, unteachable, lack of tenderness. God's told us where that path leads as well. I mean, we could just consider how many employees have lost their employment because of a stubborn spirit. "I don't like my boss. I can't serve under him. I want to do it my way." And then they get booted from their job and they stand amazed that all of a sudden they're in poverty. Well, you had the job that the Lord was using to provide for you, and because of your stubbornness, you put yourself in a position of financial instability. Number 7, lack of compassion. Lack of compassion. Turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. 3 times in the book of Proverbs, we are warned that those who cannot empathize with the plight of others will find themselves experiencing poverty. Those who cannot empathize with the plight of others might find themselves in that same plight. Okay? The verses for that, I think they're included on your notes there, 21:13, 28:27, and the one we've turned to, 22:16. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or to give to the rich will only come to poverty. We already looked at the Proverbs 21:13 passage. That was what your theme verse is there at the top of your handout. Now we could just make this really practical and challenging and a little bit of a wake-up call to consider. How am I doing with this? When I moved here, the last thing I expected on the northeast side of Indianapolis, basically into Carmel, you know, the really ritzy area of the city, beggars to be standing on the corner of Keystone and 465 with signs almost every day of the week and several different faces. I mean, over the last 3 years that we've been here, there's probably been, oh man, easily 20 different people out there holding signs and with different stories, but all with the same need. And of course, we recognize all of us are tempted to assume, I give them money, I know what they're going to do with that. And that may be the case. But what Solomon and others in the book of Proverbs are asking us to consider, what happens to your heart when you drive by them? Remember Christ. He was well aware of the misguided intentions of those following him. They were following him only because they saw the miracles, not because they saw a spiritual Messiah. And he was moved with compassion because, like sheep without a shepherd, they were. These people may be lying to us. They may be merely intending to take our money and go buy more alcohol and perpetuate their cycle. They are like sheep without a shepherd. Are we moved with compassion? Proverbs warns us that those who have no empathy for those who are impoverished may find themselves experiencing that same poverty. Oh, may we have the same mindset of Christ, who for our sake became poor, that we might become rich. And may we have the same compassion, the same active love to those who are needy. Number 8, our last need here. Proverbs talks about this a lot, you can tell, is a lack of discernment. He that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. That's an interesting way of putting it. Wrong companions can quickly lead to corruption, and such corruption is quickly followed by poverty. Bad business deals, bad stewardship habits, bad financial decisions, bad directions all come as a result of bad friends, and oftentimes that leads right to a lifetime of poverty. Okay? So all of us, as we come to the end of the list, again, we're reminded, don't put yourself in the role of the protagonist. I'm the hero in the story. Put yourself in the role of the antagonist. Where am I laying a foundation of poverty? Where am I starting down a very dangerous path? We're all wise to take time to look in this mirror provided by Proverbs. God may afflict some of his saints with poverty, and that may be a part of his plan for them. But sometimes we're reaping it to ourselves. Those are the results. Let's consider the treatment of the poor. The well-being of the wise will be greatly impacted by their treatment of the poor. We've already considered that. We want to build on that now. In fact, Proverbs takes 2 different tracks in its book, and it says those who treat the poor well will be blessed. Those who treat them poorly will be harmed themselves. So let's consider those 2 very divergent paths quickly. First, proper treatment of the poor leads to blessing. What blessing? First, happiness. Proverbs 14:21, he that despises his neighbor sins, but he that has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do you remember the last time when you were not coerced to give by conscience or by any authorities, but instead out of your own free will, you gave to somebody who you saw to be needy? Do you remember that? Have you ever done that? Do you remember the happiness, the joy that you owned when you did that? Okay? That's totally appropriate. And as we're finding here, that's part of God's grace to motivate us and to bless us when we adopt his character. Happy is he that has mercy on the poor. You try it. God's not lying. Number two, honoring God. Proverbs 14:31, 10 verses later, he that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honoreth his maker hath mercy on the poor. This goes back to Titus from last Sunday. Should we speak the gospel or show it? Yes. Which is more important? Can't ask that question. Both are crucial. And if you do not treat the poor well, you reproach your maker and you unadorn the gospel. Those who would live to bring glory to God must learn to be kind to the poor. Edwin shared an interesting story with me a few weeks ago that I think leads in perfectly to our next point. He talked about a friend of his from college that began to be aware of a homeless family that was living in a van. A mom and dad, how many kids? Two kids living in a van. And he became aware of the situation, began giving to them to meet their needs, began collecting money from roommates and guys on his hall to meet needs. And over time, the Lord began to burden him about a missions trip opportunity he needed $2,000 for. Well, the Lord met his need when those who had been watching him care for the needs of the poor day after day after day after day, one of them saw that and was moved by that example of Christ to write a check for $2,000 and cover his whole mission trip to Peru. Okay? Again, this isn't prosperity gospel. This is just the reality of God's promises. There's an assurance of repayment. You got three verses up there. Assurance of repayment. We're not supposed to give to get, but God does promise when you give. I love to give back. I love to repay. Fourthly, increased opportunities for leadership. The king that faithfully judges the poor shall have his throne established forever. Many of you have been created by God to lead, and you've been put into positions of leadership. Do you realize that Proverbs tells you that your ability to lead and your breadth of leadership opportunities is going to be in some way tied to how you treat those who are less fortunate than you? Just some interesting concepts of wisdom that we're learning. And then fourthly, So we consider the inverse, right? Improper treatment. Proper treatment leads to blessing. Improper treatment leads to sorrow. Give your blanks here. First, improper treatment of the poor is a reproach. Secondly, it brings punishment. And thirdly, it brings the opposite of what we saw that proper treatment does. It brings loss of leadership. Again, and there's another verse to teach us that wisdom is being clear with us. While we in an affluent society and in an affluent area can find ourselves sometimes looking down our noses at those who are less fortunate, Proverbs and its wisdom is telling us that is not a good idea. Life designed by God and lived skillfully will treat the poor with justice, because otherwise there's only destruction. There's only sorrow. Well, lastly, let's consider quickly, and I'm just going to give your blanks here. You've already got the verses. You can do the study on your own. But there's six different points here that are just truths about poverty. I mean, if we just want to start bulleting, like, when you think of poverty, what comes to mind? Here's what comes to mind in Proverbs. First, it may cause despair. Secondly, it leads to humility. Thirdly, it causes servitude. Boy, don't we know that. Fourthly, it may tempt one to steal. Fifthly, poverty is better than lying. And sixthly, poverty is better than cheating. Just a bullet point of what God's perspective on the morality of poverty even. We certainly need to come to the conclusion of this study, the antithesis of the rich man that we considered a few weeks ago, and pray that which is written in Proverbs 30, verse 8. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us your perspective on poverty. Or I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where you say, nobody can know what a person's thinking unless that person tells them. And nobody can know the mind of God unless the Spirit of God is given to that person. Lord, we have your Spirit, we've opened your Bible, and your Spirit has taught us this morning. When it comes to the realm of poverty, you have some really clear instruction. Avoid it. There are some dangerous truths involved in it. Have mercy on those who find themselves in it. Lord, help us to be skillful livers in this one particular area of our finances. Lord, help us to learn to be generous, modeling the character of our God, and thereby adorning the gospel. We pray in Christ's name.